Good morning. This is our precept study, and today we are still studying the names of God, and it's coming from our study of the book that we are looking at by Kay Arthur, Lord, I Want to Know You. And today, the name that we're studying of God is Jehovah Tsidkenu, and this means the Lord our righteousness. So we'll begin today's study in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that we can't learn your word unless you teach us. So we ask again that the Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us, that we may know your names, that we may know your character, your attributes, and your very nature. And Father, we just are so thankful that you wrote it all down for us, and that you promised that you would give us your word if we would abide in you. And Father, we want to abide in you, to know you, and we just ask today in our study that we can learn of you about the Lord, our righteousness. So we just give you all the praise and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, looking at Scripture, we're going to start looking all the way back to the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 3:15. So this is the very beginning in chapter 3:15, how that men from the beginning of time were saved by faith, and righteousness came by Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. And we receive still today, as they did in the Old Testament, our faith, our salvation, our righteousness. It's all by faith. The gospel, God's word, produces righteousness. So in the Old Testament, we learn how that Abraham was saved by faith. But let's go back to Genesis 3:15, and I'll read this scripture quickly, and we'll see how that in the very beginning of time that God made a way and a promise. Genesis 3:15 says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So in the beginning, God tells us that Jesus, that Satan was going to bruise the heel of Jesus, but Christ himself would bruise his head. And we saw that as you get into the New Testament, when Jesus went to the cross, we know that when he went to the cross and died for our sins, that Satan bruised his heel as he hung on the cross. But Jesus Christ bruised his head. He crushed the head of Satan. He brought victory to us there at the very beginning, and it was told in Genesis 3:15. And then, as I read earlier, we saw that Abraham was saved by faith. And I want to read Genesis 15:6. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. It was the belief that Abraham had in God, by faith it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Now, even when Jehovah had provided a way for his people and kept his covenant with Abraham, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of an evil heart of unbelief. And I want to read the scripture, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12, and then verses 16 through 19. Verse 12 of Hebrews 3. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And then going to verse 16, Hebrews 3. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, it was not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses. Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And that is where we read back in the very beginning, where God brought the people out of Egypt. And because of their unbelief, those that of that generation were not allowed to go into the promised land. And let's see then that after that generation that didn't know the Lord nor what he had done for Israel, they did evil and they worshiped idols, the Baals, and they forsook the Lord that had brought them out of Egypt. Let's look at Judges and see how that the people were forsaking the Lord. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose up after them. The generation I just read about that was in the book of Genesis that were not allowed to come in because of their unbelief. But then another generation arose up after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. We see that even this generation that God brought into the land, after they had come in, they turned away from the Lord. And they wanted to have judges over them. And the Lord gave them judges that generation. And then they, even having judges, they went their own way and they provoked the Lord to anger. So after 350 years, they rejected God as king over them because they had asked after judges for God. They didn't want him to be king anymore. They rejected God as king over them. So then God gave them Saul, He was to be king over them. And then Saul himself rejected the word of the Lord. So we see in 1 Samuel 15:23 how that because Saul had rejected him, the Lord rejected Saul. And then God gave them David, a man after God's own heart. And then after David's death, his son Solomon became their king. And in his latter years, Solomon's wives turned his heart to other gods. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. We see that in 1 Kings 11:4-6. And then after the death of Solomon, Israel was divided. That's whenever they became against one another, and they divided themselves. And the two, first of all, there was 10 tribes known as the Northern Kingdom, and they were called Israel. And then the other two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, were called the Southern Kingdom of Judah, and they kept Jerusalem as their capital. So we know the story because the people of both kingdoms were unfaithful to God. He allowed them to be taken into captivity. First, the Northern Kingdom, Israel, was taken by Assyria, and then later, the Southern Kingdom, Judah, was taken by Babylon. And you see this repeated over and over, how that God blessed the people when they followed him and did his will. And then when they rejected him, then he had to bring judgment on them. And these kingdoms, Israel was a sacred people and a sacred land. And after they rejected the Lord, they divided themselves into two kingdoms. Then God had to have them delivered over to the enemy. And we ask the question then, what can change their hearts? What is it that they need? What is their problem? It's their hearts. Their hearts are not upon the Lord, their God. And so, what can change them? We see how that in the days of Moses, that they would sacrifice bulls and goats, but it didn't change their heart. It would only last. God would give them forgiveness and for a year, and then they had to go back again, but it never changed their hearts. So this is where God reveals another one of his names. And also he gives a new covenant. And this new covenant is of grace, and he gives them a new heart. Let's look at Jeremiah 31:31-34, and I will read these verses. Jeremiah 31:31-34. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Now this is Jeremiah the prophet in the Old Testament. And God is speaking to Jeremiah, and he is telling them, Jeremiah, to tell the people that, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband of them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. This is what the Lord told Jeremiah to tell his people. He says, the days are coming that he's going to give a new covenant to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It's not according to the one that he made with their fathers. This is going to be a new covenant. And we will see in this covenant that it will be a covenant that will bring in the shepherd. You know, we have just already this read and studied that the shepherd, Jehovah Ra, is our provider. And Jehovah Jireh is our shepherd. And this is the name that we see here in Jeremiah 23:6 that gives us the new name that we're studying today. And it's the name Jehovah Sid. Can you, Jehovah Tsidkenu, and that means the Lord our righteousness. In Jeremiah 23:6, this is what Jeremiah told the people. This is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? Why do we need righteousness? Righteousness is more than goodness. It is a right standing with God. It's not our righteousness. Our righteousness is but filthy rags, and the righteousness of God is perfect, without sin. So righteousness is to be straight and to do what God's word says is right and to live according to his standards. It requires a new heart. Now, that new heart, we read that new covenant. He's going to give them a new heart. In Jeremiah 31 that we just read, let's read 33 through 34. And he said, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because he says, they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. So, this is what we find then that he is saying. So, we want to ask the question now, how can we receive that righteousness? What must we do to receive this righteousness that we need? I want to read John 1, verse 12. John 1, verse 12. And let me find that. Okay. And I'll have to find that right quick. I'm not turned to it. So I want to. John 1:12. Sorry that I didn't have it marked. Okay. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." So, we know that we receive that righteousness by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ and then receiving him. He is the one. By receiving him and believing upon his name, then we are made righteous. And let's look at Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:21. And I will turn there quickly. Matthew 1:21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." So we know that Jesus came into this world in the flesh, God himself in the flesh, and became man, and he was without sin. And because of his righteousness, if we believe upon his name, then we too can have his righteousness. Now then, as we kind of look back over what we have studied today, we want to evaluate everything that we have studied. We want to look at everything from the very beginning, how that God has made a way for his people. And his people are those that believe upon his name, those that believe upon the name of Jesus. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, we read that Jesus said himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And another scripture that tells us how that he, in his righteousness, was made sin for our sin. Reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. "He made him," God made Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So we see in this verse that God made his son that had no sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's only in Him, through Him, and by Him that we can become righteous as He is righteous. We see time and time again, all through the scriptures, in the beginning of time, starting in Genesis 3 that we read, that God made a way for us and His people that He had chose, Israel and the Israelites. He made a way for them and a way for us today to become righteous, that we might know this name of Jesus that we have been studying today, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. It is only through Jehovah Tsidkenu that we can become righteous. And God, in all of His mercy and His grace, has provided a way. The people, He made a covenant with them, but they couldn't keep it, or they didn't keep it. They didn't follow what He had told to them. In the beginning, He said, if you will keep My laws, My statutes, then I will. But today, the only way that anyone, the people couldn't keep the law, and we can't keep the law. The Ten Commandments was given, and we see all through the scripture how that they broke the law. And today, we can't keep the law, because the scripture says that if you break one of My laws, you have broken all of My laws. So the only way was for God to send His Son in the flesh to go to the cross to die for our sins, and that whosoever will believe upon His name shall be saved, shall be made righteous as He was made. He was the righteousness for our sins. So we're going to close today's study now in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I do pray that if there be anyone that under the sound of Your word that has heard today how that we must come to You to receive Your righteousness is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. It took the blood, the precious blood of Jesus, to bring us, His people, to salvation, that we might have life eternal. And I do pray, Father, that each of us will examine ourselves and be assured through the Word and the Holy Spirit that lives in us. If we have the Holy Spirit, we have the assurance that we are His children, that we have been made righteous by His precious blood. And we ask it now in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.